Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1 with Sarah McInerney and Cormac O'Hara.
Answer me this. Is social media the secret weapon for politicians and political parties to reach new audiences? Is it less or more effective than traditional media or public meetings? With speculation that a snap election could be on the horizon in the autumn, just how much do political parties rely on social media to communicate with their voters? For more insight on how this is being done by our politicians and political operatives, Donna Humphreys, Head of Social and Digital at Thinkhouse, joins me. Donna, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me on, Cormac. Great to be here.
Now, you've delved into this area and you have data on how politics and social media are linked in Ireland. Parties and individual politicians certainly use social media to connect with their audiences, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. And just by way of introduction, I mean, Thinkhouse is a business that helps brands and businesses actually connect with young people and keep them culturally relevant to young people. So it's very interesting to look at it through this lens of how young people see politicians and political parties.
And I just wonder how effective it is as a tool.
Well, the jury is out on that. I mean, there's two ways of looking at it. And, you know, in the marketing industry, when it comes to social media, we would look at it under two lenses often. One is organic social. So that's essentially what you're earning through your communications and how well your audiences are how they're receiving your message. And then the other is paid social media, which is effectively placing ads on social media. And these operate in two very distinct ways.
So tell me more. What is better, organic or paid? What is more effective, I should say?
They operate very, very differently. So from an organic point of view, it tends to be more about the personality. So, you know, we live in a world where, unfortunately, politicians see themselves as brands often rather than public representatives. And how they show up on social media speaks a lot to their own personal brand. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we highlighted three in particular that are doing it in very distinctive ways. They're all very different from one another. They're all on opposite ends of a spectrum, so to speak. But they're all super effective at doing it. So one, for instance, would be Simon Harris, Minister for Further and Higher Education. And he has a mammoth following on social media, both on TikTok and Instagram. And he does it very well. And I guess the secret to his success is that he has this kind of earnest quality that he likes to put out in the public sphere. And he's very much brought that through to his social media. On the opposite end of the scale from him, then, I guess, in many ways, is Michael Healy-Rae, who, you know, is pure drama, pure theatre, really outlandish stuff, but it has landed so well, and he has a really engaged following, especially on TikTok.
Well, I know that you're making a judgment here, too. Michael Healy-Rae, what he says on social media is not outlandish. It would be reasonable from his point of view. And you could say the same thing in terms of any judgment about Simon Harris. But the point you're making, I suppose, is that they have a following. But I just wonder, here's a question that I can't get my head around. And I don't know, Donna, if there's any research on this. When Michael Healy-Rae or Simon Harris or Holly Kearns or Ivana Bacic or Micheál Martin or Leo Varadkar or whoever the case may be, talk to their following on social media, number one, are they talking to the converted already? And does that engagement really relate to votes in the ballot box come election time?
Well, it's not necessarily that they're always preaching to the converted. I mean, we've all seen things go mega viral on social media, either for the right reasons or for the wrong reasons. I guess the gamut that politicians are running is which side of the line are they going to fall on? Are they going to become famous or infamous? And so Holly Kearns, that's another great example of somebody who has this kind of you know, effortless quality that really shines through on her social media, and is having great success because of that. And the effectiveness, that remains to be seen. I guess there are case studies that show that social media can be extremely effective, and unfortunately,
there's no empirical research really to suggest that it translates. Social media engagement translates to votes. Is there?
Well, that's interesting. I would say Cambridge Analytica wouldn't have fallen afoul or come to people's notice at all if they hadn't been so effective at what they were doing. So that all comes down to that other side of the coin, which I spoke about earlier, which is the paid social media and targeting. And essentially what paid social media allows you to do is A-B test messaging. So effectively put out several different messages and see which ones are resonating best with the potential voters, your potential voters on the electorate, mm-hmm. which is essentially what Cambridge Analytica did. It's all about permutations and seeing which are the ones that push people's buttons. And actually we can see, because after the Cambridge Analytica scandals, Meta, which is the parent company of Facebook, which owns WhatsApp, Instagram and Facebook, were forced to bring in advertising guidelines. And essentially, there's great transparency now about what people are putting on their ads from a political point of view. So you can actually, if you know where to look, you can actually go into the ad library of all of the political parties in Ireland and actually see what messaging they're running. You can even see how much they're spending, and you can get a good idea of who they're targeting. So this is really an excellent leading indicator as to what battleground, let's say, an election might be called.
Maybe
over.
Battleground is a useful term, because in the US or indeed the UK, recent examples in the US and the UK in referenda or elections, we saw how misinformation or disinformation was easily transmitted across social media platforms. It wouldn't happen as easily anyway in traditional media. You also mentioned that sometimes politicians can be successful on social media if they sell themselves as a brand, I think is a term you use. I wonder, when you take those two elements together, could it be argued that social media is a damaging force in politics? Because you're talking about information that could be dodgy, you're talking about the persona or the brand, as opposed to policy and problems and solutions and detail.
Well, it's really interesting. There's an approach that has been taken by a lot of the parties that are in opposition to the government, which is that they will clip up content from Oireachtas TV, which, you know, they've read the room, right? I'm sure a lot of the electorate aren't sitting around all day watching Oireachtas TV. But what they've done is they've taken their leaders' questions or really interesting and substantial points that they're making in the Dáil, and they've made it readily consumable content, which is how an awful lot of communication happens. As you rightly say, a lot of this battleground is happening on social media. Mm-hmm. When it comes to being famous for all of the wrong reasons, you know, I highlighted some examples of politicians who are doing it really, really well, like Michael Healy-Ray, Simon Harris, Holly Kearns. There's the flip side of that coin where, you know, we've all seen the content where there's a politician who's clearly had a phone put in their face by somebody who's, you know, in charge of their social media. There's this awkward look on their face while they try and engage with some trend or some meme that's happening out there, and they just get it all wrong. And arguably, that can be really, really damaging to their brand, in inverted commas.
The other thing we need to talk about, I think, in social media when it comes to politics is the culture or the atmosphere. It's very much a hostile environment very often if there is any public public political engagement on social media, isn't it? There are snap judgments. If somebody says something that it could be a short message, it's dissected a million times by a million people without looking for nuance.
Absolutely. For sure. That's one case. And radio is a really good example. And I'm not just pandering to you here, but it's a good place where people can get on and really work out the nitty gritty of a topic. Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, it all depends on how people are utilizing their social media. So it's not just about derivatives of information that get parsed up and seeded out to facilitate a certain point of view. Lots of politicians use it as a broadcast tool as well, because of the amazing capabilities of a lot of these platforms. Okay. So you'll get people coming on and they'll do Q&As with people from their constituencies, or they'll get activists on and they'll have conversations with them. So it really is a very powerful tool, but it's all about how it's being utilised.
Well, I think you've put your finger on it there. It's about how it's used on both ends, I suppose, by the user and the receiver. Donna Humphreys, look, we'll talk again for sure, because there could be a campaign in the offing, maybe in the months or years ahead. Donna Humphreys, Head of Social and Digital at Thinkhouse. Thank you very much indeed.